Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for August the 3rd, 2025. And this is part two of Karen of the Midwest. She wrote me this handwritten letter, and it was very impressive. By the way, your handwriting is very, very good. I was so interested in the fact that she took the time to write me questions that were pertinent to her and in a most thoughtful way. And I'm very, very grateful for it. She asked in part two here, how are you not like other religions? Everything you teach seems to be religious to me. Can you explain? Karen, I'm not responsible for how you listen to me. I'm not responsible for how you hear me, how you interpret me. I am not like religion at all. I oppose religion in a certain sense, just like Jesus did. He talked about it in no uncertain terms, the venomous poison that it is. But I can't convey to you beyond your human prejudice what I am trying to teach here. I am simply offering you an alternative to your conventional thinking, your mind that has come to assumptive beliefs. And the more assumptive your belief is, the more difficult your life will be. And of course, this enters into the realm of psychology and pride and all sorts of things that make religion very important to people because it's the only way in which they can, compromise their life, which is what they want to do, minimize their life so they can understand it. The human mind is filled with genetic problems. And these genetic problems are things that we inherit, like our mental acuity, for one thing. We don't come from, generally speaking, a great stock in genetic thinking. We have these loyalties to our family, to the mind of our family, to how we were raised and all of that. So it has a lot to do with, if I'm not saying things that you understand, then I might be evil. I might be counter to what your parents said or how they raised you or what they believed. And if that is the case, then you're not going to be able to hear me. You'll be immediately against me as I try to teach you the manner of the way. And this is something that all teachers go through. This is a great difficulty in being a teacher, how students interpret you. Now, there are some teachers such as Jesus, the Buddha, who didn't care about how people interpreted them. And I admire that, and I agree with it. They lived without distress. They just taught what was necessary and put it out there for humankind to gnaw on, chew on, and deal with. Most people turned it into something they could think. And that's the difficulty here. Turning the way, the manner of the way, the teachings of the way into something you can think. And if that is what you're doing, which it appears that you are doing, it is sad for me to say to you, you're not going to be able to comprehend not only what I'm teaching, but the value of it. We are here, and you keep driving this point in your letters. You keep driving the whole idea of there should be something valuable in this lifetime. And people want to think that it is their lifetime in the sense of what they say, what they do, what they get, who loves them. I said this to you yesterday in closing. My students struggle with the very same things you're struggling with. So, you know, you're not unique in that. I hate to tell you that. They struggle absolutely. And I'll bet you 10 to 1, they don't believe in anything I'm teaching them. It's hard to believe what your mind cannot conceive. And they just think like you do. Well, what about this and what about that? And these whatabouts, what about this and what about that, do not take into account that this is all a delusion, an illusion, this thing called our earthly life. We have created it, and we keep creating it, and we keep making problems. We are uncomfortable with the idea of no thing. If you have nothing to think about, if something has no thing to it, we struggle with this as though there is something wrong. This can't be there. Everything has to have a thing. Everything has to have some kind of benefit or not. This is just the way the human mind works. It's called self-preservation. My students, like yourself, have no love in their heart. Now, they have human love, a lot of that, and they think that's their heart. But it's not. They have no interest in true love itself. They are living in the unrequited love that they feel deep inside. This unrequited love is something that their parents couldn't give them, that their lovers couldn't give them, that no one can give them. This unrequited love is that which lives within them in the form of their soul. When your heart is falling in love with your soul, you will find the existence of no thing. And it is in that nothingness that you will find that your unrequited falls away, and you will no longer be striving to be a better person or be rich and famous or whatever it is you think you need to be to get the affections of other people, the gratifications of other people. And it is interesting. I have a student who is leaving their body. And it's a very interesting time. This person has been with me for many years, many, many years. And this person has no inkling of what I was teaching for all those years. I talked to him every week. I worked with him. Oh, Greg, you're so one. I get it. Thank you for helping. But here he is at the end of his life, and he's not talking about it. He isn't interested in it. He just wants to be occupied until the day he died. Or dies. And that is an interesting thing. He is not able to talk about his life and what it was and how he lived it. He's not able to do it because there's no love in his heart. There is affection. There is human ego all over it. The human mind creates all sorts of ugly things, but that's about as far as it goes. My teachings and things I gave him that he said to me were so precious have now just drifted away. And we were talking the other day, and he said, my dream is like an ephemeral dream. My life is an ephemeral dream. He said, I can't remember anything. I can't remember this, that, and the other. I can't remember anything you taught me. I'm right back to square one. And he's okay with that. He thinks that's okay. And maybe it is for him, but that's how quickly we can take this lifetime and create the demise of our own experience here. And we do it in the form of emotionality. If you notice, probably, Karen, the things you love the most are things of the flesh. Maybe your children, your husband, your family, your friends. And these are not the things that make life meaningful. And when you tell someone this, that these are the things that don't make life meaningful and aren't the purpose, they get very pissed off at you. And that's just the manner of humanity. Jesus faced it. Buddha faced it. I'm no Jesus. I'm no Buddha. And I face it, too, as a teacher. And it is a very difficult thing. There are no words for this lifetime. It is inconceivable and something that is benign to our understanding. So I offer you this in an effort to say to you, you have to want nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha taught. And wanting nothing with all of your heart is a very noble effort. Some people are willing of it, but most people are not. Anyway, I hope that helps you. Sure it didn't, but anyway, thank you very much for your letter and your questions. I'm out of here. Be back on the air next week. Hope you will forgive me. Namaste.